What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 174 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have an episode for you tonight. Unfortunately, we do not have a lot to talk about. The TWAB is a little bit light on details. Solstice of Heroes has proved to be slightly less than thrilling, but we have had some requests from people in the community to discuss what we neglected to discuss last week, which was the differences between the quick play meta and the elimination meta. They are not necessarily... tremendous differences. It's not like it's night and day, but there are a little bit of differences in terms of the weapons and subclasses used. So we are going to briefly discuss that. And like I said, we'll talk about our opinions on Solstice of Heroes. Spoiler alert, I am not thrilled with it. But first, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I can't complain this evening. I was able to take advantage of actually something that Bungie just did to kind of fix some glitches with Solstice of Heroes, so that felt real good. I'll tell you what, made things a lot easier than I expected them to be. We can talk about that in a second when we get to the Solstice. But how about you?
I'm busy, man. I'm playing a good bit of Destiny, at least as long as I have free time. Not playing as much as I would like. I have gotten to the stage in the season. Usually this is like the last couple weeks of the season, because this is an extended season. It's going to be much longer period than that. But I've gotten to the stage where I've pretty much done everything that I want to do on my main character, and now I'm starting to explore. So that means sometimes I'll start to play secondary characters. Sometimes I'll try out really, really niche loadouts on my primary character. I'm sure some of you guys saw the video that I posted on Twitter yesterday using Assassin's Cowl and the Weighted Throwing Knife for Gunslinger. When you get a kill with Waiting Throwing Knife, it restores your health and shields and makes you go invisible and gives you your throwing knife back if it was a precision kill. That has been a very fun build, albeit a challenging one, because I will be honest, I suck ass with that subclass right now. I wish Solstice had given me a little bit more to grind for, but I've still been having fun playing on my own.
So you inspired me to do something similar. I decided to try to be a real cheeseball, so I also broke out my Rat King for some added hijinks, and then I've got a swashbuckler gravedigger special grenade launcher that I pulled out as well, with a 52 blast radius, so it's pretty easy to use. Getting those one-shot grenade kills feels real good. When you combo it with everything else. Definitely taking me some getting used to. I can't say that it was like optimal by any means, but when it worked, it was very fun.
Yeah, it's harder than it used to be. They nerfed the they nerfed the magnetism of the throwing knife.
Yeah.
And up close, you don't really feel it, but at longer distances, it is extraordinarily noticeable. I actually kind of wish that to go with the nerf to aim assist, they had kind of sped up the throwing time of the knife. It has a very long windup now, and the fact that it doesn't have any aim assist means that if someone is not within like 5 or 6 meters of you, like it used to be, you could like chuck it down a hallway, and if someone walked out from around the corner, it would kind of just like magnetize to their head, which was a bit cheesy, and in fact was something I complained about. But now it's like, you can go an inch past the outside of someone's head and miss them from like 100 meters away, which doesn't feel tremendously good, because it also takes an eternity to like wind up and throw. It's like a freaking baseball. So now that it is significantly less lethal, I wouldn't mind so much if they sped up the animation for throwing the knife. But you know, I'm getting there. I'm getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
Obviously, that clip of the 3 in a row, that's the most I've gotten. I've gotten 3 in a row twice now. I have not gotten more than 3 in a row. Yet, but I'm working on it. I'm trying. The problem is that obviously it's in the dead part of the season, right? So Crucible is mostly populated by people who know what they're doing at this point. It's not exactly the peak of the population in terms of the time of the season that we're at. So it's been a little bit difficult to really try to use it without putting myself at, you know, the tiniest bit of a disadvantage, but it is worth it. You know, I think at some point, probably what I'm going to do is I'm gonna set my Hunter aside for the rest of the season. I'm going to swap over to my Titan, because I have just been itching to give Sentinel a try again, and to use Heart of Endmost Light, with the one-hit sticky grenades, because that was absolutely the most fun thing I've ever done. So I'm itching to get back over to that subclass. But, you know, it's that's the one benefit of this season going long, is that I'm going to have a ton of time. I'm going to have a couple months where there's not really anything I'm playing for other than just for fun. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's nice, you know, we enjoy chasing the quests and trying to check off the boxes, but sometimes it's nice to just relax and say, like, I'm not going to pick up any bounties. I'm not going to look at my quest tab. What do I feel like doing today? And I'm just going to go do that. Kind of reminds you, I think, sometimes, like, why you really, you know, kept playing the game in the first place, I think. And, it, you know, it wasn't because you enjoyed checking off boxes or doing bounties. It was because the game is just fun to play.
People play games for fun?
Yeah, it's weird.
I didn't realize that.
People don't play Destiny
for fun.
Strange
thing to do.
People play Destiny because they don't have enough chores in their real lives.
Yeah, and we need chores in video games,
that's
too.
It's true. It's true. So let's do some housekeeping here while we're at only the 6-minute mark. Darn near early in the podcast for this kind of thing. But let's say thank you to a couple of patrons. So I don't have these patrons lined up with Discord names or anything, so we're going to use code names instead. You'll know who you are, I think. So I want to throw a big shout out to Stockholm. Thank you so much for the pledge, the support. Just it means a ton to us. And I think you know, everybody listening can appreciate the fact that we continue to be listener-supported Destiny Radio. So thank you so much. And then thank you as well to Shock. Thank you so much for your support. I appreciate your pledge. And wanna throw finally a thank you out to ZenzoCal, our ongoing sponsor, who has just been a gentleman and a scholar in terms of the level of support that he continues to give us over the last few years. So thank you so much to him, and thank you to all of our ongoing patrons for their continued support. This podcast wouldn't be what it was without you guys.
Are we allowed to talk about the art that Zen commissioned, or is that like something that's supposed to be a secret or whatever it is?
I don't think it's a secret. He didn't say anything to me about keeping it a secret.
And I saw it was posted on Twitter by the artist, so
it's pretty dope.
But I don't know if people associate who he is with his Twitter, you know, thing. But regardless, Zen commissioned some super, super, super awesome art from one of the really, really great artists in the Destiny community. It is perfection. It is beautiful. Chef's kiss over here. It's my favorite weapon in the game, the beautiful Bastion. So I have the utmost respect for him for picking such a fantastic weapon to commission some art of.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. And hopefully a little bit triggering for some people too. I think art, you know, needs to challenge us, right? It needs to push us emotionally, and I think that's what it does.
Yeah, outside of our comfort zones, and
that's right.
That. So it is beautiful. We also have some podcast reviews for this week. We actually have four of them.
Holy cow.
Although one of them came in last week, and I just didn't get to it because it was an international one, so it didn't update on the list before we recorded. But it is from Raw Shark. He says, "Informative and entertaining podcast, 5 stars. Found the Massive Breakdown guys after stumbling across a list of god rolls on Reddit while trying to work out what to shard and what to keep. I can be a hoarder by nature, so the recommended rolls from Mercury's and Kutch have been essential to keeping my vault in check. When I progressed to listening to the podcast, I knew I'd found some guys who shared my love for the game. They speak with knowledge, passion, and a relaxed tone that suits me down to the ground. In particular, the ongoing discussion about matchmaking has made me think about the needs of players of all skill levels rather than just my own. Personally, I don't like connection-based matchmaking, but I understand why more skilled players do. I can't recommend the Massive Breakdown podcast enough. Essential listening for all Guardians. Keep up the good work." Thank you very much, Raw Shark. It is always great to hear that something that we have talked about has made you think about the way you feel about something. We had we have conversations like this in the Discord all the time, right? Not only do listeners come in and say, "Hey, I thought a lot about what you said in the podcast. Here's how I feel about it." But sometimes listeners will come to us and say, "You said this in the podcast. Here's how I feel about it." And it changes the way I think about things.
Yeah.
And this is the honest truth. The only reason I got hired at Bungie to be a gameplay specialist when I went out there is because I was able to articulate counter arguments to my own points really well during the interview process, right? So they would ask something like, If you were given control over this, how would you change it? When I explained how I would change it, they would say, "What do you think would be the most common negative feedback about that idea?" Right? And I could articulate other people's points, even if I didn't agree with them, I could articulate them really well. And the reason why I could do that was because of the discussions that I had with people in this community who disagreed with things that I said, right? When you say something, you do a lot of thinking about it on your own, but you don't understand how it's going to affect other people necessarily until they explain to you how it's going to affect them, right? Like the views I have on matchmaking, the views I have on weapon balance, the views I have on all these different things come from discussions with people, like Rorschach in the community, people who reach out and say, "Hey, it's cool that you feel this way, but if you were to make that change, this is how it would affect me," right? And when you get those viewpoints given to you, your understanding of, of the ecosystem just expands mightily, and you're able to make much more informed decisions about, your opinions and things like that. So it's fantastic. I appreciate you leaving that review, Rorschach.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I just want to say, it's good to hear as well for me that we're hoping you keep your vault space at a manageable level. I think that is like one of the goals that I always had as a player early on in Destiny. Even before there were apps to transfer and you just had to go to the vault to move stuff between characters, the bad old days, as I like to think of them. It was really important to manage that, and then I'm proud to say I'm at 196 out of 500 right now. I feel like that's a pretty solid level, and I'm intentionally keeping a lot of like I have all of my original white common gear from when I first loaded up Destiny 2 for my hunter anyway. Sorry, Titans and Warlocks. So it's like I don't know. It's important to me that that we're providing something that's really directly useful to people. So thank you for that review. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Next one up is hosts seem laid back and very informative, and very informative breakdown. Sorry, I read that completely wrong. But it's hosts seem laid back and very informative breakdowns. I thought it was hosts seem laid back and very informative, but it was not. So this is by Turpin. He left us 5 stars. He says, "I look forward to listening to this podcast every week. It is very apparent that Mercutus and Kit do their homework to bring a very analytical approach to the meta of Destiny 2, even though they have a life outside of Destiny." Golf question: what is your dream foursome and on what course? Give this podcast a listen. These two are really enjoyable to listen to. I'm assuming that the golf question
It's
is
gotta
directed at
be.
me. I don't know if you play golf. Yeah, I don't know if you play golf.
I have played golf.
You have.
Yes. I'm much better
Do you have your own set of clubs?
on the
Yeah,
Wii.
that's it comes down to it. So I'll be honest, and this is something, it's actually funny. I had this conversation earlier this week with one of the buddies I was playing golf with. I don't actually watch or enjoy watching golf at all. I really, really enjoy playing it. I don't enjoy like watching pros play it. So if I had to pick a dream foursome, it would actually be the foursome that I play golf with right now. It's three of my really good friends. We go out every week at least once. Sometimes we go out twice a week. If I had to pick a dream course, I would actually love to play the TPC Championship course, which is in Jacksonville. It is extraordinarily expensive and very hard to get onto because it is a TPC Championship course. Or I would love to play St. Andrews over in the UK because that to me is just like the dream. I don't know if that's where golf was started, but when I think of it in my head, it feels like golf just came over from there. And it's a beautiful place out there. So I would love to play out there. But yeah, I mean, I don't actually watch golf that much on TV. I find it to be, I'm very impressed by what they can do, but I don't really find it to be enjoyable to watch. I mostly just like playing it, right? And I play a decent amount, but yeah, that is how it is. Thank you for the review, though, Turpin. I'm glad you asked a question in that too. More people should use this. Actually, I don't know if I should say that.
Hold
We have a
up.
Discord. You could ask questions in the Discord, but yeah, I was gonna say more people should ask questions in the reviews, but I don't think we actually need to use the reviews for
If
that.
that happened, we'd have to save up and just do like an hour of reviews and questions. Let's not do that. But thank you for the review.
We still have two more reviews though. Yeah, there's gonna be at least another 5 minutes of reviews. We have a great for any Destiny fan, 5 stars. It's from Master Shake Kill. He says, "As a huge Destiny fan, I love this podcast. Also a big fan of Firing Range, and I figured I would follow Merc over to this one as well. I appreciate the in-depth breakdowns of the weapons and their options and tips on each. Informative and entertaining. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, Master Shake. I appreciate you following me over from Firing Ranch to this one. I love the Firing Ranch podcast very, very much. It is a ton of fun to do. It is also wonderful that I don't have to edit it myself. So I can just go on there and have a beer and chat. And I love that Firing Range is like a more, I don't want to say family friendly, but a more like commercially acceptable version of this podcast, right? Like we talk about very, very similar things. And a lot of the times I get ideas for what I want to talk about on Firing Range from this podcast and vice versa. But that podcast is just like a relatively higher level. And like the discussion doesn't go quite as deep because of the audience that we kind of have to keep it for. It's like a more mainstream audience. But over here, here is where we get down into the nitty gritty. Like here is where we dig as deep as we want to dig, and we can go for as long, you know, or short as we feel like it. You know, we've had some episodes before where we're like, damn, I'm gonna have to split that into two parts. Like, it's like 2.5 hours of just, you know, random discussion about whatever it is that we feel like talking about. So.
Some, he says. I think we had a whole year of those. But yeah, glad to have you. Thank you for coming on over here. Welcome to the dark side.
Yeah, and then the very last review for this week is if you Destiny, you need to listen to Massive Breakdowns, 5 stars from Mech532. He says, what I like most is that the breakdowns are always put into situations and not just get this god roll evaluation, but something that every player can relate to based on how they play the game. Stay well, fellas. Thanks for a great podcast. Mech, thank you for a great podcast review.
Yeah.
Like you said, we always try to mix the reviews of weapons we do objectively, subjectively. We try to talk about them, where they'll be good, how they'll be good. So I'm glad that that you feel like it's helped you. Really appreciate you leaving us a review. And remember, if you guys would like to leave us a review, Apple Podcasts, just leave us a review. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but we really appreciate the 5-star reviews. We will read it out. We will say thank you. We will talk about it on the podcast. And we appreciate all you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so that's the housekeeping for this week. I'm glad we started on schedule there, because that was a little bit more housekeeping than I realized we even had.
It's incredible that we have such a great community, that we have, you know, week in and week out, we have Patreon supporters, and we have people leaving us very nice reviews, and it's really wonderful to be able to have this stuff to read out in the beginning of the episode. I like it much more than not having anything to read out. So.
Absolutely. So now on to what everyone wants to hear about. Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
No. That's coming up later tonight there, you guys. We are doing an in real life podcast episode. It has been too long. So stay tuned after Massive Breakdowns for the Star Wars in real life Episode 2. No, but what we're actually going to talk about tonight is Solstice of Heroes.
All right.
I think we can get this out of the way pretty quick. How are you feeling about Solstice of Heroes?
So, like, I wanted to play some Destiny anyway, so for me, it's kind of like, alright, well, I guess I'll just kind of go do a little bit of everything. It was starting to get a little bit annoying, yesterday. And then today, Bungie goes, and I think, I was mistaken, I think they actually tripled. I tweeted that they doubled it, the progress, on your blue armor for your first character, but I think they actually tripled it. So, like, that's 2 Crucible matches, 2 adventures, you know, it's super easy. Like, I was done with the kills in one match, and I did not get 25 kills that match. Because I was playing with Rat King and a grenade launcher. Like, I definitely did not get 25 kills. So yeah, like, it was like, oh, well, that was easy. Alright, I can do this. So I'd recommend that everybody play their 5 Gambit matches. You know, or they're 4 Gambit matches. I can do math. And you know, maybe grab that armor on at least your main. You know, I don't know how much the multiplier is going to increase on the other characters yet, because I haven't gotten that far. But it seems at this point like it's going to be easy enough that it's almost silly not to do it if you're going to be playing. But that's not like a stirring endorsement. By any means, right? Like, you don't get anything for it, not really. It's cosmetic. If the cosmetic stuff is something that you value, then, you know, there's that, but there's no actual, like, in-game benefit to doing it, right? You don't get anything out of it. You don't get armor that's necessarily any better than anything you already had. You don't get guns, because, I don't know, actually, there's no real reason to not tie some rewards to it at this point. I think the Traveler's Chosen is supposed to be linked to it somehow, right? But I haven't seen any new quest steps pop up yet. Unless I've missed it, but...
No, nobody's talking about it, but,
How about you? Like, I guess I'm kind of, like, nonplussed.
Didn't you have to get the Traveler's Chosen for the...
It's required for one of the triumphs, for the seal.
But I saw people already getting the Moments of Triumph seal for it. So do people already have Traveler's Chosen? Because I haven't seen anyone... I'm going to Google this.
I guess, I take that back. It's one of the triumphs that you can get. I don't know if it's on the seal now that you mention it. I didn't really look that closely.
I mean, all the how to get Traveler's Chosen things are from June on YouTube. So there's no way that anybody has Traveler's Chosen already, because there would be a ton of gameplay out on it. And also people would be talking about how incredibly good it is, because it's basically like Drang, but with better stats. So we will save that for another time.
According to Dem, it's on the seal, but I don't know for sure if that's accurate.
Maybe it's not required for the seal.
Yeah.
You can get it. But regardless, I have found Solstice Spheres to be tremendously boring this year. I played it like I crushed through it the first year because there was the ship, the Estival Excursion, which the only way you could get that ship was by completing the armor on all three characters.
Yeah.
Which was a grind. A brutal, brutal, brutal grind. But I did it, and I was proud, and I've still rocked that ship to this day. The second year, there was the Sparrow. I don't find Sparrows to be nearly as meaningful of a reward as ships, because it's so much harder to see the Sparrow when you're, like, you know, using it. Now it's a little bit better that they put it on your character screen. But at the time, I didn't find that to be enough of a reward, so I got the Masterworked Armor on a single character, my main character. This year, I haven't even been bothered to finish the blue armor on my main character. I just, quite frankly, the only reward, as far as I can tell, the only reward is the glows.
Yeah.
And I just don't really find the glows to be appealing enough to where I care about them. And there's no ship, there's no Sparrow, there's seemingly nothing, there's nothing that motivates me to want to complete the armor. I'm not even sure I'm going to complete the armor on even my main character, unless like Traveler's Chosen comes out and requires you to do it, in which case I will. But right now it's just like, I played the blue armor for like half a day, and then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not enjoying doing this. And what is the light at the end of the tunnel? I even asked the guys I was playing with. I was like, what do I get for completing this armor? Like, what is it that I get? They're like, well, you get the glows. And I was like, yeah, but I looked at the glows. I don't really want the glows on my character. It's like, oh, well, there's not really anything else. I was like, why am I doing this then? Just to say that I did it. And it's kind of, the problem is it not almost the exact same as last year's?
So it is. And I want to say, you know, in all fairness, that the EAZ, it's pretty fun. And especially if this is your first year playing it, like, I think it's a super fun activity. The first year, I think last year was the first year they did it, right?
Yeah, it was.
And it was a blast. I loved it.
The first year was the redone story missions, right? That were like...
That's right.
That weren't fun because you had to play them 10 times each.
Yeah.
But
they were fun the first time.
Yeah. Even the first couple times they were fun, but having to play them 3 times each on all 3 characters made them really, really lame by the last time.
But the EAZ is a good time. Even now, I'll probably still play some more EAZ. There's no real point for me. Like, I don't get anything out of it. The boxes just all give you blues, so it's like, I don't really see any particular reason to continue opening them now that I've got my 10 that I needed.
It is a fun activity.
I will give it that. I love just trying to parkour and stay on the rooftops as much as possible. Or Batman, you can play it like Batman. And it's a
very unique,
few different ways you can do it.
It's a very unique combat zone. The only other time we've seen anything like it is Scourge of the Past, the raid, with that type of verticality and interior space play.
What I really want is like a big team battle on that map.
On that map, yeah.
I want like 12v12. Let's just go nuts. Throw some tanks in there that drive around in the middle and shoot at each other. Like, that's honestly, I think, what I really want.
That's too much fun. We're not allowed to have that. Maybe know full well.
Yeah. So yeah, I want to make sure I'm not coming off like complaining or negative, because I think it's fine, is where I'm at with it. I'm not excited by it personally because I've already done it. But I think for new players, it's probably a good time. Might expose you to some areas of the game that you maybe haven't spent time in yet, which can be a good thing. Might cause you to go get some adventures done that you maybe haven't done if you're a new player. So, and for, you know, for people who recently started, they are getting a full set of armor out of it, which is going to be good for the next year. So there's that. Not nothing.
Yeah, there's certainly something.
For vets,
it's not something that appeals to me.
For vets, I think it's like much less exciting. Takes a little more to get your blood up once you've killed several gods and saved the galaxy. Or I guess really just the yellow bar system.
Couple of yellow bar bosses in the AZ just don't do it for me.
Anymore, yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where I think we're at right now. I don't know that there's really anything else to say about Solstice, right? There's nothing to it. The triumphs are pretty straightforward. Like,
there's not. It's such a weird.
If you don't already have half of them done, then, you know, I don't know.
It's such a weak event, man. It is really a bummer. And I know it's a free event and it doesn't really matter. And like, it is what it is, but it is so totally clear. Different departments at Bungie, different things, but that far more work went into the Eververse rewards associated with Solstice than actually went into Solstice this year. Like, there's just not anything new, and this is the third year in a row doing something similar, like grinding out really, really, now it's less grindy, but still really super grindy armor that makes me do things that I don't really want to be doing. Like, for no reward, it's like, I'm going to pass.
I do, actually, I almost forgot I wanted to mention this as well. Third time was the charm. They finally at least are letting us have the armor and then continue to use it for the next year.
Yeah, it's not useless
as opposed to it being immediately useless within 2 months. Yeah, so...
lessons learned.
Yeah.
Lessons learned.
So maybe they're like, okay, we're going to do it right one time, and then maybe next year we can do something new. Who knows? You know, they have finally done it right. It's just like, this is what we would have wanted it to be last year or the year before, and so now it's a little bit less exciting for many of us. But I don't know. It is what it is.
It's an event, right? Like, it's a bummer that there's no new weapons that we get to talk about, or like, no, anything really that we get to talk about. But it was supposed to be like, you know, the last little hurrah before Beyond Light came out, and now Beyond Light's delayed. So it's going to be a weird time. It's going to be a weird fall. But, you know, something that can keep you entertained until then is Trials, which, like that smooth transition right there. It's a little bit strange, but we try. So we had a lot of people mention to us last week, like, hey, you guys talked a lot about 6v6. You talked a lot about quick play. We feel that Trials is a very different meta from what quick play is and what 6v6 is. And, you know, to a certain extent, that is true. Quick play does have a lot more people playing with suboptimal loadouts, a lot more inexperienced players. Trials is, on the whole, more sweaty, more tryhardy, more experienced. So there are some differences. So we're going to talk about the differences really, really quickly, because there's not a ton. There's no need for us to go over all the stats of every weapon and every subclass. But for both PC and Xbox, console, the difference between usage on the auto rifles and handcans and pretty much every other weapon is really even more pronounced. So weapons that are not auto rifles and hand cannons on console see significantly less use. On both, you know, in trials, on both PC and on Xbox, you know, pulse rifles, submachine guns, they're just all they're all significantly less used in trials than they are in quick play, which is to nobody's surprise. So that elevates hand cannons and auto rifles up. What's interesting is that auto rifles are seemingly elevated even further up in trials compared to what they are in quick play. Now, on console, it's not as different. You know, hand cannons average about 15% usage on console, trailing down to, you know, 13% usage. Auto rifles are between, you know, 38 and 36%. And that's in trials. And then in quick play for console, auto rifles are about 35%, and hand cannons are about, you know, 16%. So it's pretty similar. Interestingly, since we have done the last episode, starting August 10th, on quick play, on console, there was a ridiculous split where auto rifles went from 36% to 46% usage, right? From August 10th to August 12th. And hand cannons went from 16% to 10%. So I don't know what it is. I don't know what YouTuber made a video about auto rifles. I don't know what happened, but the split was dramatic. And interestingly, when we look at PC quick play, on August 10th, we see the exact same thing. Auto rifles went from 32% to 39%. Hand cannons went from 23% to 17% usage. And that's between August 10th and August 12th. So there was a huge split right there where apparently on August 10th, somebody did something that made people start using a lot more auto rifles. I don't know if it was a bounty. I don't know if it was, would you imagine that's what it was? That it was perhaps a bounty or something?
I feel like there was a auto rifle kills bounty this week. I'm pretty sure that I did it. But it wouldn't have been on the 10th. Because it was like a solstice thing. So maybe on like the 11th or the 12th? I don't know. That's a startling jump. And like, it wasn't even that many kills. Like, I don't remember, but it didn't take that long. So I guess once you've got a loadout set, though, why change it, right? Like,
yeah. And then the differences between PC quick play and PC trials. PC quick play, auto rifles, you know, are averaging 30% to 34%, with the exception of the last couple of days, somewhere around there. Hand cannons are averaging 25% to, you know, 22%, 23% outside of the last couple of days again. And then in PC, that difference is, you know, a little bit more pronounced. Hand cannons are between 20 and 18%, and auto rifles are between like 33 and 37%. So the difference is a little bit more pronounced. What that comes from, in my opinion, is pretty obvious. Trials, people are trying to win. So they use what is mathematically the gun that's most likely to help them win. And right now, adaptive auto rifles are the strongest gun in the game, mathematically. And also, they're not tremendously difficult to use. So what happens is when people go into trials and they really, really want to win, they equip the best gun that they have, and it's probably a gnawing hunger.
Yeah.
And that's probably what they've got going on. So it's not entirely surprising. It's really just like the quick play meta, but taken to a more logical extreme, right? So guns that are not competitive get neglected, and guns that are competitive, their usage goes up. So there's the differences between control and trials on PC and on console. Did you notice in your statistical analysis, did you notice any differences between the subclasses that are worth discussing?
It's kind of subclasses in trials, like in we can only really look at like the stats for elimination, which skews it a little bit, I know, but it's weird. Like if you just look at win rates, it's like 9 sine waves, just all over the place, and it's really, really difficult to make anything conclusive out of it, because it almost looks like it just sort of like depends like who's playing that day. You know, is there somebody who's just ridiculously good at striker? Well, then striker is the top class, you know, if we've got a whole bunch of strikers. And some of this comes from the population being so low that these statistics just get really, really skewed. You know, but we see things like that. We see striker being up the top. Now, some of that probably comes from Thundercrash, because Thundercrash is just a free kill every time you get it. Occasionally a free team wipe if your enemies, like, you know, forget that you're playing Thundercrash. So there's definitely some changes there. Like we see that tending more toward the top to middle. We see Sunbreaker occasionally not sucking. Night Stalker is kind of all through there, generally toward the top, which we would, I think, probably expect from what we saw in Control in 6v6. Sentinel is another one that's a bit of a surprise. It's kind of all over the place. Sometimes it's the absolute worst, like 46, 47% win rate. Sometimes it's like 54%. So, like I said, it really seems like it just depends who's logging in. Like, it's hard to say anything too clear about that. Dawnblade is still, I think we can say, really good. Dawnblade tends to stay toward the top. Voidwalker, in terms of win rate, pretty low. Which, you might think that, like, kind of another sort of free kill super would do well there, but I think it's because the skill level tends to be higher, and an ill thrown Nova Bomb can fail to kill anybody. If they manage to bait it out of you and just completely flee across the map, it's entirely possible you'll totally fail and waste your Nova Bomb. So I'm thinking that in that class, I don't know. I think Voidwalker is overall just a little bit weaker, but it definitely shows in the win rate here. They tend to be at or under 50%. Arcstrider is one that surprised me. Right, we saw Arcstrider as being far and away one of the strongest classes in 6v6. And while it's occasionally up near the top of the win rate here, it seems like it really yo-yos hard. It goes from 54% win rate to a low of a 47% win rate. Even a 46%, actually, I correct myself there. So it's really, really all over the map. So I guess that tells me that maybe you can play Arcstrider really well or really poorly. But it's hard to judge from win rate. KDA tells us a little bit more about who's being effective. Stormcallers, who I haven't mentioned yet, have one of the highest average KDAs. Actually, I think I would say the highest average KDA of any class in trials. So read into that what you will. Night Stalkers are also up there. Despite not really performing in the wins, they do apparently put up the kill-death ratio, or at least the kill-death assist ratio. And then the other one that really jumped out at me as being successful was Striker, which is a class people told us in Discord was good in trials, right? For Thundercrash. And so we do see that reflected here in the stats. Striker is probably the third best overall.
Yeah, I gotta say it's really crazy the variability in trials. This variability was not so pronounced in Quick Play. Quick Play, obviously, connection-based matchmaking kind of filters people in and out. In trials, the variability is all over the place. Win rate is particularly ridiculous. Popularity and KDA are a little bit more stable. At least on PC. On console, from what I can see. It's pretty similar as well. I mean, Jesus, Night Stalkers are just so popular.
Yeah. So if you it's that's
It's
another
crazy.
thing I noticed here. So Night Stalker is super popular. Gunslinger actually is really popular as
I
well.
think that was because the Hunter, you had to get a bunch of solar stuff for Hunter on day one of the Moments of Triumph recently, because there was like a spike in the last couple
There has
days.
been a spike, but I mean, ignoring that spike, it's still probably the third most popular
Yeah.
class. But the funny
Yeah,
thing
which is
is that the
ridiculous.
KDA does not support that. It's like 1.25. It's like barely breaking even. Easily middle of the pack at best. Arguably one of the least effective classes in trials in terms of average KDA. If you look at win rate, it's also actually pretty bad. It hovers around 50%, which is bottom of the pack. So apparently, gunslingers are very much overvalued in trials, is what I'm reading from the statistics here.
I mean, and Night Stalkers, conversely, at least on console, are very much the best in terms of KDA as well. Like, not only are they the most popular, but they're 1.42. Their KDA is basically averaging over 1.4. No one else is close to that, with the exception of Striker Titans. And maybe Arc Striders. Arc Striders are kind of up there as well. Striker Titans are a little bit higher than them, and Dawnblade is a little bit below those guys. There's like a split in KDA that's like 1.30, and below, you could probably guess because we talked about it last week for console, but below the 1.30 line for KDA is Sunbreaker, Gunslinger, Voidwalker, Sentinel.
Yeah.
And then there's like, so this is how weird the gap is, right? So Sunbreaker's 1.25, Gunslinger's 1.26, Voidwalker's 1.26, Sentinel's 1.27, right? Those are all pretty close to each other. Four subclasses from 1.25 to 1.27. Then you have a 0.06 jump. Stormcaller's at 1.33, right? Like, there is a wide gap between competitive subclasses and non-competitive subclasses.
Yeah.
And it's the same gap we talked about in control. It's just exacerbated a little bit in elimination. So if you look at, popularity, what are the least popular subclasses? Well, Sentinel, Sunbreaker, Voidwalker, Striker is surprisingly not as popular as I would have thought it would be in trials. Night Stalker, Gunslinger, Stormcrawler, Dawnblade, Arc Strider. So all three Hunter subclasses and two Warlock subclasses are more popular than even a single Titan subclass, which is a very sad story for Titans.
Yeah.
That is console, of course, that I'm talking about. If we shift over to PC, it's pretty similar. Pretty similar. Gunslinger is even more popular on PC, which is interesting. And for a brief period of time, Voidwalker was a little popular too, over the last couple of weeks. Not sure why that had happened. But you guys can see the point we're trying to get at here, right? Like, control, and this is why we talked about the 6v6 meta. The 6v6 meta is indicative of the meta for a game overall. The trials meta is the natural extrapolation of a more competitive version of the control meta. So if something is good in control, it is going to be more popular in trials. If something is not so great in control, it's going to be less popular in trials, right? It's just the control meta push to extremes, basically.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree with that. And really, I think the big takeaways for me are just kind of reinforcing some of the feeling that I already had in terms of like Gunslinger, Voidwalker, just not being very strong, despite their popularity. And I Voidwalker, honestly, in terms of like just fun to play, for me is the most fun Warlock class to play. I just find the ability combinations really satisfying. Just doesn't stack up. Just doesn't perform.
What it really speaks to is how terrible Sunbreaker is
Oh, there's that
in
too.
both control and trials, because Sunbreaker is really
I didn't
struggling.
want to harp on the Titans, but yeah, Sunbreaker's real bad and not popular. Nobody it's not good and nobody likes it. It's basically if we're gonna go there.
We remember the golden age of Sunbreaker when it first came out in Taken King, and it was so incredibly overpowered. Had more damage resistance than any super. And the hammers could not only seemingly track you around corners, but have the blast radius of basically a truth rocket launcher and proximity death. So we remember the days when Sunbreakers were a scourge.
I just came up with a theory about Sentinels, right? So Sentinel is inarguably the least popular class to play in trials. It's 4.5% on console in terms of people playing it, and it is 1.46% on PC. Nobody is playing Sentinel in trials. That might explain why the win rate is surprisingly high, because only it's just Destiny Fun Police, the only Sentinel in trials right now.
Pretty much just him.
And so it's like, oh, well, that's it. That's the answer right there. Now I understand. Because that was blowing me away. Just the total lack of popularity. It's not. I mean, it's not horrible in terms of like its KDA overall, depending on the day. On some days, it's pretty terrible. And so it's like that lines up so much
Depending on when
more.
Destiny Fun Police isn't playing it.
Yeah.
See, so that's the thing, right? If there's only four people playing Sentinel and Destiny Fun Police is playing that day and he dominates, the KDA is going to go way up,
Yeah.
right? And also part of me does wonder like how much of the stats on PC are skewed by cheaters going, you know,
That's
18 and 0 every game because of wall hacks or stuff like that. Subclass usage, I would question if that variability is due to whoever is doing a recovery or cheating on a given day.
Yeah.
Because we don't see nearly as much variability as on consoles we do on PC.
It's difficult to say. I hope that they are able to take some steps to improve that issue in the near future, because it's definitely a concern. Like for me, like I'm gonna have a gaming PC on Saturday. Today, when some of you are listening to this, and I just don't know if I'm gonna like I'll probably log into Destiny just to look at it in higher graphics and enjoy that. Although part of me doesn't want to, because then when I go back to PlayStation, it might hurt a little bit. But I just really have no interest in PvP on PC. Like, it just does not sound fun. The people, even the people trying to convince me, their arguments like disincentivize me even
Yeah,
further.
it's really pretty. So many frames per second, you can't ever go back to playing on console. How's PvP? Well, you know, we don't play that
It's
here.
really pretty.
Yeah, until the cheater wall hacks you. So I mean, I look at it like people talk about, and I don't know how the hell this podcast episode has even gone on for 45 minutes. I was expecting this to be like a 15-minute episode, but people talk about like, oh, well, what's, you know, it sucks that Halo Infinite got delayed and the Xbox Series X doesn't have a any reason for people to pick up a launch day. It's like, I'm gonna pick up on launch day. I want to play Destiny 2 in 60 FPS and 4K, right? Like, because that's the only place I can get that right now is PC, and I am not willing to shift over to PC with the PvP ecosystem in the state that it is. So I'm gonna pick up a Series X on day one because I want that, you know, pretty PC experience without all the fucking cheaters. So And dude, like I
That's
know people who switched over to PC who are coming back to console now
yeah.
because the experience is so bad on PC. It's not just Bungie that's having this problem. It's every PvP game on PC. Hackers are so good now and so quick to adapt that it's almost impossible to run a PvP game on PC without hackers getting in and basically ruining it for people.
Well, you know, the good news there is that very soon it's just going to be hackers hacking each other.
Right.
And hopefully they'll get tired of it, and what will we have learned? I don't know. Don't do it again.
Dude, I love the idea of putting hackers into lobbies with only each other, right? Like you flag hackers and then instead of banning them, you just constantly put them into lobbies against each other. And that's all you
I
do.
think that's beautiful. Or you
And that's who has the
just lock, like just like don't even ban them, just like lock their matchmaking so it takes 15 minutes. They have to,
every single
and then
time.
it's just a lobby of other hackers.
We
It'd be a
control.
beautiful thing.
All right, guys. Well, that is it.
Yep.
I want to talk about some Star Wars, so I'm going to call an end to this episode of the Massive Breakdown podcast. Hopefully, in the near future, Traveler's Chosen will get released and we will have more to talk with you guys about. But in the meantime, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.